Good morning. Really powerful video clip that was, Will. Really feel that almost says it all for itself, doesn't it? But no, you've got to listen to me as well. So we're going to talk and you're going to hear about praying together. Well, praying together. I think if asked, most of us would say that we believe in the power of prayer, wouldn't we? We read God's word and see his reminders of the strength of our prayers together, so we know how important it is and believe that God is at work through his people. Yet, if we're honest, and certainly speaking for myself, the reality is that there are days when life's ups and downs, busyness, struggles or worries stop us with every good, even though we've got every good intention, it stops us praying, let alone meeting up with someone else to pray. Isn't it amazing how difficult it is to get two diaries to work to set a date to meet? It can almost feel like a battle, can't it, to stand strong and keep on praying in a world that can be very dark sometimes. Prayer is one of the greatest joys of the Christian life. It brings us so very near to God. There is no other direct line to God than prayer. Can you imagine the God of the universe wants to turn his ear to us to hear us pray? That's how special we are to him. Prayer comes in many forms: personal prayer, praying together, intercession, thanksgiving, and so on. But today I'm going to concentrate on praying together. While personal prayer time is powerful, there is a special anointing when two or more are gathered together to pray. God has promised he's with us. Robert Weston, in his book Praying Together, tells a story about Catherine Marshall, a noted American Christian author, whose husband Peter was terminally ill. At the time, she realized that although she knew many lovely people, caring people, and experts in such fields as music, medicine, and the law, she didn't know anyone with whom she could pray at this difficult time. She later wrote a book about this time in her life called A Man Called Peter, in which she says, "I longed for the help of prayer warriors, people who had not wasted precious time as I had wasted it, people who knew why it was that some prayers are answered and some are not." How would we manage in a similar predicament? Have we been in a similar predicament? Would we know people to turn to? Would we ourselves be someone could turn to? There can be no question that the church needs men and women who pray. Today's readings reflected the coming together of believers as one body, gathering in a designated place to worship and pray. When Jesus uttered these words, he wasn't referring to one or two believers swapping prayer requests at their local garden centre coffee shop, although that can be powerful too. He was envisaging a whole congregation getting together, praying together, and he was promising to be with them. Praying together was a priority for the disciples because that is what Jesus had taught them. And just as it was true for them then, so it is true for us today. And why? Because individually, we may or may not be strong, but together, we can support each other, and then weakness can turn to strength. I rather like the Peanuts cartoon, where Lucy demands that Linus change the TV channels. As some of you may identify with the battle of who holds the remote control. And in this instance, Linus has got it, and Lucy wants to change the channel. And she threatens with her fist if he didn't. "What makes you think you can walk right in here and take over?" asks Linus. These five fingers, says Lucy, individually they're nothing, but when I curl them together like this into a single unit, they form a formidable weapon. Okay, which channel do you want, says Linus. Then turning away, he looks at his own fingers and says, why can't you guys get organised like that? So let me ask us the same question. Why can't we get organised like that? We're going to spend some time this morning looking at this, and hopefully at the end we may have some answers and a way forward. The disciples learnt their leadership patterns from Jesus himself by living with him, by observing him and listening to him. If we look at the four Gospels for Jesus' teaching about prayer, we can find 37 instances in which Jesus refers to prayer, and 33 of those were addressed to a plural rather than a singular audience. In other words, Jesus' instruction lent towards praying with others and not just in private. We see this in the reading of Matthew 18, verse 19, when Jesus said, for when two or three come together in my name, there am I with them. Isn't that amazing to think that if we gather in a small group, Jesus joins with us? That is why our life groups are so important. A small group that meet together and pray. And I urge you, if you're not already in one, then seek to find one you can join or start one up yourself. It's different to home group. It's more intimate. The model is there for us to see. Jesus chose his 12 for disciples, but he also had within that a smaller group, Peter, James and John, who he singled out to be his closest friends. It was these three he took with him up the mountain where they were to witness the transfiguration. And it was these three he took to Gethsemane when he went to pray just prior to his arrest. So you see, the small group was a very important part of the prayer life of the disciples. Going back to Matthew 18, verse 19, Jesus could have said, if anyone asks, but instead he deliberately chose to emphasize a group gathered for prayer. This focus of Jesus on more than one praying together indicates that there is a design of God's in such gatherings, through which he will uniquely and powerfully work. In no way are we to minimize personal prayer, because our personal prayer life is very important. Prayer is an act of communication in our relationship with God, rather than a ritual, as some may think. It is not a waterfall of empty words, but rather a conversation between us and God, and communication keeps a relationship alive. There is an old saying that says, 7 days without prayer makes one weak, W-E-A-K. So we are not minimizing the place of personal prayer in our lives, but we are looking at God's purposes being accelerated when we pray together. And prayer will keep us together. When I thought of that phrase, and anyone who's heard me speak before knows I have a penchant for looking at 60s pop songs, I remembered one which said, love will keep us together. And it was by a duo. Now, Jill isn't here, otherwise I would know, she would know who it was. But the duo was called Captain and Tennille. And the lyrics talk of love keeping them together despite temptation, in the case of the song, of other girls. But if we bring that concept over into the spiritual, we understand that prayer will keep us together, regardless of what comes our way, regardless of what the devil tries to do to sway us, regardless of what kind or how tempting the temptation may be. Prayer will keep us together while we are apart. Prayer is the bonding ingredient that will cause us to stand firm when it seems as if we're swaying by ourselves. The disciples made it a practice and a priority to teach about praying with fellow believers and to practice it because they had heard and seen Jesus emphasize the same thing. Many examples are found in the New Testament, and here are just a few that are in Acts. 1:14 says, "All joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers." This was when the 120 were gathered in an upper room. 1:24 says, "Then they prayed." And this was when the disciples were praying for wisdom in knowing who Judas' replacement should be. Acts 6:6 says, "They presented these men to the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them." The church were praying over the seven men appointed to serve the widows. And 12:11 says, "The church was earnestly praying to God for him." This was for Peter when he was in prison, and as a result, he was miraculously released from his cell. So just a few examples of when corporate prayer is illustrated and the reasons. And in the reading today, we showed that the disciples recognized the importance of praying together. So what does praying together look like? There's the obvious way of two or more gathering together with the sole purpose of praying for each other or for situations. But for this to work, there are several conditions. Firstly, there must be agreement between the praying partners. Matthew 18, verse 19 again says, "Again, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask for, it will be done for by my Father in heaven." In the original, the word used here is symphoneo, from which comes our term symphony. It literally means to be in harmony. Unity in prayer requires unity in spirit. Merely meeting together is not enough. Secondly, we must pray together in the name of Christ. Over again in the Gospels, we read that Jesus affirms that prayer must be done in his name. This isn't just a respectful use of his name. It is a requirement to pray in the very nature of Jesus, his character, his purpose, and his vision. This means we have to examine the intentions of our hearts, and it may be that the first step is to confess that actually we aren't in the right place that we ought to be. Real praying in the character of Christ is costly. It cost Jesus his life. In praying, "Not my will, but thy will be done," are we prepared to die to everything that would stand in the way of fulfilling the divine will? That's a hard question, isn't it? And finally, we should pray believing that what we ask will be answered. Jesus repeats the assurance many times that if we ask in agreement with the will of God, the request will be granted. This is not to say that prayer in his name will be answered immediately, for he may want to teach us greater trust and patience in the delay. Nor are we to assume that the answers will be in the way we envision. But we are promised the Father will respond to our cry from the understanding of our real need. Of course, being together can look differently depending on circumstances. For example, Paul couldn't always be with the churches he planted, especially when he was in prison. Yet he remained in touch by writing letters to them and praying for them. By so doing, he found a way to stay spiritually and socially connected. In fact, his final instructions to the Thessalonians was to pray continually, or some translations say pray without ceasing, not just when problems crop up or when it's convenient. He was encouraging a new church that he'd had to leave abruptly, without support and vulnerable to outside pagan forces. And the most useful thing he was saying for them to do was to pray together unceasingly. And friends, that is true for us today. I remember during the pandemic how important it was to tune into the Zoom services so that we could pray together, even if we couldn't meet up. And our church survived those difficult times. We found a way to be together because we knew how important it was to be together. I know I felt that I needed my church family in those times, probably more than I had realized before. So we can pray together in small groups, in our church, or by remote means, Zoom, letter, or a phone. But why do we need to pray together? Well, praying together keeps us connected to where there is strength, power, and protection. Let me explain what I mean. When a pride of lions go on a hunt, the lionesses will spot a herd of antelope and they will try and separate one away from the herd. Once it is disconnected, the antelope becomes vulnerable because it no longer has the protection of the numbers around it. It becomes prey, the definition of which is an animal that is hunted and killed by another for food. 1 Peter 5, verse 8 says, "Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour." The devil is looking for someone to be his prey. We must pray, or else we will become prey. Praying together keeps us in the herd, keeps us connected to where there is strength, power, and protection. We also pray together to help each other persevere in faith. It encourages us to keep on keeping on. It helps us to hold steadfastly to our faith by encouraging us with others' hope, encouragement, strength, and testimony when we can't find our own. It gives us access to bravery when we lack courage, comfort when we are in crisis, counsel when we are confused, and a good nudging when we lack purpose. It motivates us to be our best selves when life might be bringing out our worst selves, because we come accountable to each other. Praying together gives us a sense of belonging. When we are part of a group, we can feel necessary part of something. It opens our hearts to the needs of others and reminds us that we can be the answer to someone's prayer. Had you ever allowed yourself to think that about yourself? Praying together causes us to understand we need each other. When Jesus went to Gethsemane the night before he was arrested, he wanted to pray to his Father to remove the cup he was to drink from. And in that moment of agony, he wanted his trusted friends to be there to support him. He placed a high premium on people praying together, and so should we. So what holds us back? Maybe we don't see the answers to our prayers coming quickly enough. Maybe we struggle with not knowing what to say. Maybe we are afraid or intimidated to pray with others. Yet it's in those very times of tension and struggle that we need more than ever to come together, unified and strong. And we can be assured, sadly, that it is in those very times when Satan is fighting the hardest, for he knows that's when we have the greatest potential to make a difference in this world. I go back to Linus's question, posed to his fingers, why can't you guys get organized like that? Well, meeting together requires commitment. Life creeps in and we're too busy. We can't arrange a mutually convenient time. If that's the case, then maybe we need to re-examine our priorities. You could say, I'm shy or reluctant to talk about myself, or who would want to pray with me? Maybe we need to take these thoughts to God in personal prayer and ask the Holy Spirit why we're feeling like this and to heal us of these thoughts. Praying together is a great way to get to know a fellow believer, for in the presence of God there can be no pretense. Today, the church not only survives but thrives in places where praying together is forbidden. We don't have that problem in this country, thankfully. We are blessed with the freedom many countries don't have. So we need to embrace the opportunity to pray together and see it as a privilege, not a chore. Maybe we don't see the need. Well, I hope that after this talk, that won't still be the case, but if it is, then please chat with me afterwards where I can see where I haven't got it across to you correctly. Well, seriously though, if you still feel that praying together isn't for you because you're not sure what you would get out of it, think of it as a way of helping your fellow man. For God uses this wonderful gift of prayer to sensitize us to the needs of others. It draws us closer and knits us together, and we should not discount the importance of this. And who amongst us doesn't want to have a friend or be a friend? Maybe you think, well, I'm not much good at praying, and least of all out loud. I would say to you in response to that, that the best way to learn to pray out loud is with others, especially those who've had their prayers shaped by the scriptures. I remember when I first became a Christian some 30-odd years ago, I joined a house group. Everybody seemed so eloquent in their prayers at prayer time at the end of the evening, and I just sat there mute. Then eventually one week I plucked up courage to say, with my eyes tightly closed so I couldn't see anyone's reaction, "Thank you, God, for good news." I'd had some hospital investigations and the tests had been okay. But I had broken the barrier to voicing my prayers out loud. And afterwards, quietly, one lovely spiritual lady said to me, "Well done, Lynn. I know what that took." That was the encouragement I needed. So you can pray out loud, even if you don't think you've got anything to say. You can, because you're speaking to God. It doesn't matter who else is in the room. God is the one who's listening. The testimony of the resurrection makes sense when we truly love one another. The gospel doesn't make any sense when we do not care for one another. So let us pray together and see the results that God has for us. We need to love one another in prayer and watch the spirit of generosity pour out over us. For when we come together in prayer, we are, in reality, bearing each other's burdens. We are holding each other up. I know that in my personal experience with my life group, sometimes I've arrived at our meeting with a heavy heart and not really knowing which way to turn. But sharing my problems with my dear sisters in Christ and praying together, I have left the meeting lighter in spirit and invariably with a way forward I might not have seen if I had been on my own. We need to love God and love one another in prayer and watch God bless and pour out his great grace upon us, each and every one of us, and then this church will see where he takes us. Life is just hard some days, and often there's not even just one big thing, but lots of little battles that can drain us dry. Parenting, marriage, job, relationships, fears, worries, experiencing loss, illness, money problems, the list can go on. And it can leave us beaten and worn out. But praise God, he gives us one another to help at all times when we just feel like, I can't do this anymore. We're all in this life thing together, and we can help each other through our prayers, through kind words, and through our deeds. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was only 39 when he was executed by the Nazis in 1945, yet his influence on Christian life has been enormous. So I can think of no better way to finish my talk than to leave you with three quotes on the subject of praying together from his book, Life Together. He says, "A Christian community either lives by the intercessory prayers of its members for one another, or that community will be destroyed." Christians may and should pray together to God in their own words when they desire to live together under the word of God. And thirdly, it is in fact the most normal thing in our common Christian life to pray together. Maybe you've heard the catchphrase, couples that pray together, stay together. How about Christchurch adopt the catchphrase, churches that pray together, stay together? I'd like to finish with a prayer. Father, I pray that from now on, we will see praying together as a privilege that not all our brothers and sisters share. By the power of your Holy Spirit, we will remove any obstacles that may have been there before, and as a church, now grow closer to you as we grow closer to each other, as we pray together. In Jesus' name, Amen.